Okay. Wow. Good morning, church family. I missed y'all. I really did, you know, and it's wonderful to be back here in beautiful San Diego. I was in a north of here for a number of weeks, taking care of my grandson, as most of you know. And, you know, I can bring back a wonderful report. All your prayers and our prayers have been answered in regards to my 8-year-old grandson, who they went into surgery and removed 2 brain tumors that were pressing on his optic nerve. So it was a very, very sensitive surgery. And one of the finest surgeons, I believe they tell us, one of the best in the West, performed that surgery. And so we spent a couple of weeks with the family in Walla Walla. And it was a wonderful, wonderful time, a blessed time. And he's doing well, almost too well. Had to keep telling him to calm down. You can't run around. You can't wrestle with your friends, because, you know, if you bump that spot that they remove the portion of the skull, you're going to be in trouble. So we had to kind of keep him under control. But he's back to normal as far as we can tell. His eyesight is improving every day. And we praise God for that. Thank you so much for your prayers. You know, have you ever felt like you're drowning? Well, let me ask this question. Have any of you come close to literally drowning in the water? Okay, yeah, see, I knew the surfers would have their heads up. most people that have surfed have come really close to drowning at least once, where you are ready to literally explode because you need that gasp, that air, that oxygen, the waves holding you down. Well, that's kind of how I felt for about the last 8 or 9 months. I'm not seeking any sympathy at this point. It's just I realized about 2 months or 3 months ago that there's been a succession of events that have taken place that I felt as though I was being held underwater. As you know, my mother passed away, and then a few months later, my sister-in-law passed away, very untimely death. And then we get word that my grandson has a tumor, and then, of course, you know, just a series of things. I think all of us have had something similar to that. And you just keep saying, well, God, can you just let me come up? I need a breath of fresh air. And so it really... It teaches us something, though. It teaches us that when we wait upon the Lord, He is able. He is able. He has promised to watch us, watch over us, to care for us, and to see us through to the point of where this morning I could sing for the first time in a number of months, "It is well with my soul. It is well." And if you know the history of that song, you'll know that the gentleman who wrote that song probably felt like he was drowning when he wrote that song. As you know, his wife and his daughters had gone down in a ship that sunk off the coast, I believe, of England somewhere. And he made the trip over there from America, and he told the captain, "When we are near the spot where my family passed away, please notify me. And so the captain did that, and he came out on the deck, and it was there that he was inspired to write that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Can you say that this morning? Is it right with your soul? Where are you at? Well, I'll tell you, the passage that I've chosen to speak on this morning is one of my favorite, it's one of my favorite books of the Bible, but it's also one of my favorite passages also. It brings tremendous courage and tremendous strength. 1 John, the 4th chapter, if you want to turn in your Bibles or your electronic devices and look up 1 John, the 4th chapter. And before we get into the 4th chapter, we also need to kind of get the flow of what John has to say prior to chapter 4. And I'm going to back up to chapter 3, verse 18. Listen to this, because this is a message for you this morning. "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. And then verse 23, and this is his command, to believe in the name of Jesus Christ and to love one another. John was, of course, one of the disciples of Jesus. And I tend to believe that he was probably the closest to Jesus. It seems that periodically throughout the Gospels we discover John getting as close as he can to Jesus, literally, physically, as close as he could to Jesus. Even in his death, went out of his way to be close to Jesus. And I can't help but believe that there must have been a very special connection between John and Jesus. And that connection, I believe, shows up over and over again throughout the writings of the Gospel and also in the writings of John. And here he is reminding us in John chapter 4. He says, dear friends, that's you and I, let us love one another. Let us love one another. Now, this is a time of a season, a time of year, that a lot of love goes around. For those of you that are ladies, you know that this is Mother's Day. And those of you that are men, if you forgot, you're in serious trouble. Because this is a time when we show appreciation for the ladies in our lives. Whether it is our mother, a grandmother, a wife, or a special girl in our lives. This is a time that we show appreciation. There's not one of us here this morning that does not have a mother. Now, if you're like me, maybe your mother has passed away. And my mother was a wonderful mother. And she usually came, at least on Mother's Day, all the way from Loma Linda to be here because I wanted her here. I wanted her to know that I loved her. One of the last things that my mother did before she passed away, her mind was bright right up to the very end. She took my face in her hands. She leaned forward from the chair she was sitting in, took my face in her hands, got this close to me and said, I want you to know that I love you. I will never forget that. I will never forget that. How many of you believe that love is just an intellectual topic? Just something that we can intellectualize about, something that we can expound upon, something that we can research, something that we can write about. Yeah, that's true. In that sense, it is. But I believe that love is much more than that. Much deeper than that. I believe that love, if we were to describe love, we would describe it in words that run much deeper than just our intellect. It's true, we have to use words to describe it. But we're not limited to just our words, isn't that right? We can show our love by expressing it in our actions. You know, the world talks a lot about love, sings about love, poetry is written about love, books are written about love, movies are made about love. I mean, love is all around us. It's one of the things that everybody pursues. It's something that everybody wants is love, true love. So often, you know, I've done many a wedding, and I'm going to be doing another one here coming up in a few weeks. And I was talking to the young lady who has asked me to do this wedding. And one of the terms that she kept using
over and over again was, this is the one I love. This is the one that's special love. This is the one that I've been looking for all my life. This is a little older. This is the one that I prayed for. This is the one that I always dreamt about. This is the one that I thought about when I was a little girl. This is the special love of my life. I listened. And I said, I'm going to come back in 10 years and I'm going to ask you if you still feel the same way. Because sometimes we talk about love, we express love verbally, but often we have a hard time keeping that flame burning, don't we? And it doesn't just happen. Love must be intentional. Love must be constant. Love must be unconditional. Now, of course, we're talking about not a worldly love here. We're talking about a true love. Because quite frankly, there's only one example of true, unconditional love in this whole universe, and that is the love of God. We sing about it. We pray about it. We talk about it. We read about it. But in this truest form, the love of God is what God is all about. It is a description of Him. And to prove that He really loves us, and not just talk about it, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, not only did He want us to hear about it, or to read about it, or to feel it, He wanted us to see it. You know, so often we say, well, seeing is believing. I'll believe it when I can really see it. That's Doubting Thomas, wasn't it? If I can just touch, if I can just see. You see, so it's so easy for us to doubt because we're human beings. And as human beings, we are often let down by other human beings in the area of love. And so we become jaded, we become discouraged, we become doubtful and cynical about what love really is. But we're not talking about earthly love, we're not talking about worldly love, we're talking about divine love of God. And you can't compare it, really, to anything here on this earth. Because this earth has its own rules. You know, I'm reminded of that as I sit and look at the media, if I listen to people talking. You'll find that there are many, many types of love. And often you hear the word, I love you because. Now, when you hear the because, You sit forward, don't you, a little bit. You want to hear, well, what's the because? Okay? It's great, you know, you can say, I love you, you know, that's all great and wonderful, you know. And that's often how, you know, people that are at concerts, you know, love, 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 you know, I love you, or whatever symbols they use, I don't know. But anyway, sign language. And we throw that word out there to total strangers. You know, we love pizza. We love chocolate ice cream. We love our dog, our cat. We love our car. But the kind of love that the Word of God is speaking about is a love that is unconditional. There is no condition. God's love is who God is. It's unconditional. It flows like a river from the throne of God, from the heart of God to us. Now you can take it, or you can leave it. You can let it flow into your life. You can think about it. You can meditate on it. You can accept it and incorporate it into your life, into your everyday life. Or you can just ignore it and let it pass on by. It's your choice. It's your choice. If you look at John, as we looked at passage earlier, John 3:18 says, and I'm maybe putting it in my own words here, but don't just tell me you love me. Don't just tell me, don't just say you love me, but it says, show me you love me. You see? Yeah, we know that there's love that's mandated. And by the way, if any of you feel that you were mandated or forced to give flowers to your mother or your lover or your friend or whatever, or a card, then you really don't understand love. Just because it's Mother's Day, all right, I had to buy some flowers. You got the wrong attitude. That's the wrong attitude. Then there's another kind of love. We've all experienced probably this at some point in our lives. There's the calculated love. It's very, very calculated. Carefully measured out. Only give so much. And if I give you a little love, then you got to give me some love back. Right? Somehow I think cats are that way. Come on, most cats, you know. Most cats just kind of, you know, they walk on by you. But if they want to be loved, they'll come and give you some love. Usually. At least my cats always did that. Okay, so there's a calculated love. You hear it often. If you listen for the word if. If you, all right, do this for me or buy that for me, then I will reciprocate. I will give you some love. I'll give love back to you. That's a very calculated love. The kind of love I think that most people appreciate is the kind of love that little Sean, my grandson, expressed to my, well, to me also, but it was probably more shocking almost, in a sense. You know, we're not around Sean that much. We see him a couple times a year, and it's never enough, but he lives in Walla Walla, and we live down here. So when we're around him, we're listening very carefully to everything he says, and we're watching him carefully, and we're enjoying just absorbing, I mean, just watching him grow and mature, and everything. It's just so exciting to watch this. And the second day we were there, my wife had gone, he had called her into his little room where he had all his toys out there. He loves Legos. How many like Legos? See? Big guys love Legos too. Both of my sons love Legos. They're fun. Yeah, don't like to step on them. I love that too. Yeah, that's painful. I've had that experience many a time. But he called her in there, and when she came in, she said, "Well, hi, Shawnee. How are you doing?" And he just looked at her, little 8-year-old boy. He's almost 9. And he went over and kind of gave her a little hug, and he said, "Grandma, I love you so much." And my wife, she came out of there with tears in her eyes, and she goes, "It was worth the trip all the way up there just for that one moment." Spontaneous love. Unconditional love. He wasn't trying to bribe us to buy him some more Legos. That wasn't even in his mind. He was showing something that came out of the depths of his heart, and the way he said it was just so powerful. Spontaneous love. As parents, there are years when you raise your children that you long for that spontaneous love. And as they get a little older and they get past the narcissism of the teenage years and they begin to realize that life has, there are values in life that are much greater than the iPhone or the new BMW or whatever, you know, whatever mom and dad can provide for you, that really the greatest value in life is relationships that are deep and loving. And I can remember when I realized in both of my boys that we had gotten past that narcissism, and now I was experiencing a depth of love that was a mature love, and it was spontaneous, and it was real, and it was powerful. It's sad, though, because sometimes I have observed adults that never, ever grew beyond the narcissism of adolescence. And they've never learned what it really means to be loved and to love. And they're missing a lot. In fact, often in the culture we live in today, we see the fake love exhibited. Everywhere you look, you see it. It's advertised, even. But true love, the kind of love that God has for us, the kind of love that God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall have eternal life, that kind of love is so rare that when we do see it, we hang on to it. We grab a hold of it. And we don't let go. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you really believe that God loves you? Really? Really? I'm talking about the unconditional kind of love. I'm talking about the spontaneous love. I'm talking about the everlasting love. The love that just flows out and constantly flows into this world and into our lives. It's there. It's there for the having. It's there for us to take and to grasp a hold of. Do you believe that? Really? Or do you filter the concept of God's love through the filter of this world? First John, the fourth chapter, reminds us, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now listen to this carefully. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Now you're saying, well, okay, I get that, Pastor. But let me just break it open a little bit more for you this morning. When we talk about the Spirit, we're talking about the manifestation of God. You see, the Spirit is part of the Godhead, isn't it? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It comes from the presence of God. Jesus said, I can no longer be with you. I must go back to my Father's house. But while I'm gone, I'm going to send this Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is here as a manifestation, as a revelation, as an example, as a continued expression of God's love for us. We need to see it that way. Not shun it. Oh, yeah, you know, some people say, well, you know, I don't want to become this holy roller jumping up and down, you know, thing. I'm not into that kind of... That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about accepting the fact that the Holy Spirit is God's love in this world, working in your hearts and in your lives. And each of you is an individual gift wrapped, by God's own hands, and in that gift is God's love manifesting, being manifested by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? That's really what it's talking about here. Well, you say, okay, let's go a little further. Oh, let's move on. So, it's talking about testing the Spirit. Oh, I got to say this. You've all visited other churches. I'm looking out here, and this isn't the first church you've been in. You've been to many visited many churches, I'm sure, over the years. I have too. I've pastored many churches over the years. But in visiting a church, when you walk out of that church service, that worship experience, or that experience with that congregation, what are the first things that come into your mind? Well, they had the truth. They had it all right. Or when you walked away, did you say, man, I felt the Spirit there. I felt love. I felt love. Those are the two kinds of churches that I have visited over my lifetime. And if you think about it, you have too. Now, I'm going to tell you that neither of those examples are perfect. Because we know that Jesus himself said that a time will come when we will worship him in truth and in spirit. Not one or the other, but the two together. And Jesus himself said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And the way of God is, God is love. That's his way. That's who he is. If you can find one word, all the attributes, all the descriptions of God in the Bible, but if you can find one word that would describe who God is, his personality, his characteristics, his universe, it would be love. It would be love. And yet, we get into these theological debates about, well, that church, they just talk about love, love, love. And that church, all they do is hammer you with the law. They hammer you with commandments. They hammer you with doctrines and dogmas and all those things. Both of those models are bankrupt, folks. It's like Martin Luther said, Christians are like a drunk on a donkey. They either fall in the left ditch or the right ditch. It takes both truth. Jesus is the truth. The gospel is the truth. And the spirit of love. Those combined become what God calls his body. That's his body. And each of you are wrapped, specially hand-wrapped packages that God has delivered to this world. And what this world wants more than anything else, I sing about it, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Isn't that right? We sing about that. But this world needs truth. The truth is, there's only one example of true divine love, and that is in Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, and he died on a cross so that you and I, while we were yet in our sins, could be saved. And that's the love of God being revealed through Jesus Christ. So, God's love, God's divine, holy, pure, unconditional love that flows forth from the throne of God in heaven and comes to this earth, God's love translates into our love for each other. It translates into our love. Now, I'm going to be a little bit bold here, but please understand. Let me just say this, and I wrote it down, so I'm going to read it. God's love reaches its ultimate earthly expression, listen to this, when it becomes visible in us. Okay? Some of you, immediately the theologians in the group will say, well, God's visible love was when Jesus died on the cross. Okay, well, I'm talking about right now. Okay? We don't have Jesus hanging on the cross. He's in heaven. Right now, God's earthly expression of his love is in you. It's in you. You say, how? Okay. Well, let's look at it. Well, let's take verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from Hollywood. No, my Bible says it comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God. Are you born again this morning? Are you born again? Huh? Come on. Are you? Pastor, you're getting Pentecostal. No, that's not a Pentecostal. That's a biblical thing. Jesus himself said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You are, if you believe in Jesus, you are born again this morning. Amen? Okay, so let's make that clear. All right? To anyone who has been born again and knows God. Okay, so if you're born again, then you know God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. There it is. God is love. All right? Verse 9. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Boom. You need to hear any more? Okay, we could stop there. But there's more. There's more. Okay? Jesus came to this earth expressing God's love. He died for our sins, so he atoned for our sins, so that he could show God's love for us. We also, I'm not Jesus. No, but you're an expression of God's love. And what does it say? We also ought to love one another. And why should we love one another? Because God first loved us. Oh, but I don't want to love that person. That is the meanest, nastiest person in all the world. Well, what do you think the thief on the cross was? He was probably Charles Manson of the day. He was hanging on the cross for a reason. And yet, Jesus loved him. The worst of the worst, Jesus loved. And he died for that man on the cross, and he saved. He promised him eternal life. Now, here's a truth here. Verse 12. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, oh, wait a minute, nobody's ever seen God. Has anybody here ever seen God? No? Okay, that's good. I just wanted to clear the air. But, okay, no one has ever seen God, but, I like the but there, but if we love one another, if we love one another, can I say it again? If we love one another, if we what? Oh, thank you. You're listening. If we love one another, what happens when we love one another? What happens when I love the unlovable? What happens when I love the neighbor that is so mean and nasty and sticks his Rottweilers on me? What does it say? If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Wait a minute. His love, I thought, was made complete on the cross. Oh, no. It says, his love was made complete in us. It's in us, folks. I didn't say that. John said it. Oh, man. I don't know how to make this. I don't know how to emphasize this. I mean, the Greek emphasizes it by saying in us. Now, in us, we go, huh, yeah, in us. Or out of us. Or through us, no big deal. That's English language, because the English language is a lousy language, really. It's the scraps left over from all the other languages. Seriously, it's one of the newer languages, by the way. So don't get too cocky about, well, I speak English. It's made up of Hebrew, Greek, Latin, Puerto Rican, you name it. It's made up of, there was this big pile of words, and somebody went through that pile and pulled all these words out, and they don't even spell them right. What is this Y before I stuff? I never did get it. Why don't we just spell the word the way it sounds, like the Malay people do? It's so much easier. I can read Malay because I can spell Malay because the word is spelled like it sounds. Chinese, I don't know anything about. All I know is it's pictograms, but those pictograms have become kind of muddled over the thousands of years. But the point is, folks, that God is saying very clearly here that when we are born again, when we accept Jesus Christ and His death on the cross, and when we are resurrected as He was resurrected from the tomb, the old body is gone, the new is alive, and when we are alive in Jesus, we become a manifestation, an example, a mirror image, whatever you want to say, of God's love. Do you get it? I didn't say it. It's all right here. And God lives in us. In us. It's locative of sphere. Locative means God's love is in us. It's not out here. It's not up there. It's in here. Now, if that isn't sobering, I can't help you. Sorry. In fact, I just wanted to deal with that today. Just that. The fact that God's love is in us. But there are no words to describe exactly what that means, other than simply saying, it's in you. You have a heart in you, or you wouldn't be sitting here. You have a brain in your head, okay? You have a stomach. You have eyeballs and a tongue. And when you accept Jesus Christ, God is in you, inside you. All right? This is not pantheism. Don't go down that road. The Spirit of God resides in you. Do you get it? Oh, no. I'm afraid. I don't want the Spirit in me because I might do something that I shouldn't do. I might express myself in a way that I'm not accustomed to. Or I might say something to a neighbor that doesn't even know I'm a Christian that will freak them out. Well, hallelujah. Become a freak for Jesus. Isn't there a band called? No, there's a song called that, isn't there? Jesus Freak. Anyway, why are we so restrained? Why are we so uptight? I mean, there are some Christians that when they walk, they squeak. You know what my theory is on that? Because I've known some, I've been related to a few of them, and I've been one. The reason they squeak is because they're lying in the ditch of perfectionism and legalism. And they have never truly felt the deep changing power of God's love. Somewhere in their thinking, the God that they love, the God that they worship, is a God who stands over them with a big sledgehammer and hammers them. And that's probably because that's what they've been taught. It might have been the example they found in their own home with a father who was abusive or a mother who was abusive and judgmental. But that's not God's way. That's not God's way. If that had been God's way, Jesus would have turned to the thief on the cross and said, you know what? You are one nasty, dirty, mean so-and-so. You have been nothing but evil all your life. And there's no way you're going to be in my kingdom. That would have been the answer. Look at all the sins you've committed in your life. You're hanging up here because you are a sinner. You are the worst of the worst. There's no way you can get into my kingdom. You cannot come with me. I'm sorry. You're just like the guy on the other side that's cursing me. Was that Jesus' answer? No. He turned to that poor, emaciated, bloody, dying man and said, today, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise. Well, I don't know what that does for you, but to me it rings of God's love. Like a bell that tolls, it says, God is love. God is love. Reach out. Take hold of that love. Allow it inside of you. Allow it to become part of who you are. And allow that love to flow through you into the world around you.